Well, good morning to everyone. I trust that you've been enjoying the service so far and will continue to enjoy the rest of the service for today. Definitely, it's been a great worship so far. Definitely want to thank Giselle for setting our minds on communion this morning and sharing very openly with us here today. Also, want to thank Danam and for Tanya to sharing about their experience in Haiti. And also, it was very encouraging to be able to watch the video and also to be inspired as to what Hope has been doing for many years all around the world. You know, it is amazing to think about Hope, international organization, to see the way that it's influenced, again, many people throughout the world, whether the poor, the rich, to see the way that it had influenced Michael Jackson as he attended a Hope event, influenced Oprah Winfrey as she attended a Hope event, just to see that such a big, incredible organization all around the world is having such an incredible impact. You know, their vision with us, it's great to have you with us here this morning. We are a church that believes it's all about imitating Jesus. That as Christians, we are called to not just to be Christian in name only, but to be Christians who are involved in walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And so we believe that it's all about having an influence and impacting people's lives. Impacting the poor, impacting the rich, influencing different social, economic, educational backgrounds. Because that's who Jesus was. That Jesus influenced all kinds of people. Wherever he went, that's how he lived his life. And we are a church that believes that we need to walk in the very footsteps of Jesus. You know, today we're going to talk about Jesus for the next bit here. I know we've went a little longer than usual, so I'll try to have you home by dinner time today. I'm just joking. Of course, you'll be home for lunch. But again, we won't go too long here. But we are going to talk about Jesus. So the title of today's lesson is To Serve and to Give His Life. To serve and give his life. And I want you to think about this question. You know, how do you measure greatness? You know, how does the world measure greatness? You know, the world might measure greatness by the power that you have. That a person's greatness is measured by the things that they have the ability to control. Maybe prestige. That a person's greatness is measured by their accolades that they have received in their life. That if you're a student, that your greatness will be determined by what kind of degree that you have or what you accomplish the years to come. By position, that a person's greatness is measured by where they are in life or by their possessions. A person's greatness is measured by the things that they own. So a person is considered great by the number of things or the size of the home that they have. So that's how it could be from a worldly perspective. You know, but you think about what characteristics are common to men and women who have been deemed great. You know, people who are deemed great are those who have maybe carved statues. Maybe painted some famous pictures. Maybe they've led armies. Or they've ruled states. Or they've composed music, made inventions, made discoveries, and the list goes on. You know, but when we think about Jesus, you know, as far as I know, he never chiseled a statue. I don't know if he painted or not. We don't know if he composed music. No political position he had, made no discovery or invention, or held no office. And he did nothing in art, literature, science, philosophy, invention, war. Yet he was deemed to be the greatest man who walked the face of this earth. That no one would deny him of greatness. Not only was he considered great, but in large part of the world, he was considered the greatest. that his greatness stood above the crowd. His greatness changed lives. He changed men's ambitions. He changed men's habits. He changed men's opinions. He changed men's tempers. He changed men's hearts. And he changed men's dispositions. They were never the same after they had an encounter with Jesus. You know, that is because what made Jesus great was that he served and he gave his life. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. Before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be able to have this time that we can gather together and worship. Father, thank you so much for the singing we've been able to enjoy so far, for people sharing their different experiences with us here this morning. And Father, for the opportunity we have to open your word and, Father, be inspired by the life of Jesus. Father, I do pray that as I speak your word, that, Father, you'll work through me. Father, to really speak to each and every heart here, Father, as you will, so that, Father, we can leave here making the decision that, Father, each and every one of us will serve and give of our life so that we can have a great impact on those around us. Father, we thank you. We ask that you bless this time as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. You know, when you read about the very life of Jesus, it is amazing. And as our study of Matthew that we've been doing on Sundays has led us to Matthew chapter 20. Let's begin reading in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus came to them, came and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, how does God measure greatness? You know, in the world, greatness, again, is determined by how many people serve you. But in God's kingdom, it's very different. Greatness is determined by how many people you serve, by the kind of life that you live as a servant of God. You know, how can we achieve true greatness? How can we have a great influence on the city of Ottawa, on our great country of Canada, on those wherever we come in contact? To serve others. You know, when we think about the word servant, a servant was hired to maintain another person's home and property. A slave was forced into service. These were the two lowest positions in society. But Jesus said that to be a servant and a slave was to be great and to be first. And Jesus came to serve, and if we are to be disciples, if we are disciples of Jesus, we are called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and imitate his heart of servanthood. You know, he was a king, but he did not live a royal life. We should never be kings in our own palaces, but those who think and live as real servants, and we will have a great impact wherever we are. You know, Jesus served in all kinds of ways. And we don't have time to go through all the different ways that Jesus served. And he served in all kinds of ways because he came in contact with all kinds of people. It was not just one size fits all. That Jesus served all kinds of people in so many different ways. He served his disciples. He served strangers. He served his family members. He served enemies. He served those who were in trouble. He served the rich, the poor, those who were saved, those who were lost. It didn't matter because he was a servant. Whether a servant, whether a slave, you know, we need to be, as disciples of Jesus Christ, wherever we go, no matter what time of day it is, where we are serving others. Well, again, we can't serve others when we're sleeping, but you get the point. But we need to be people who are serving wherever we are. You know, I have 2 points here this morning. We need to think. Number one, think like a servant. Because I do believe that thinking like a servant will influence us living as a servant. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, if you turn there with me. You know, it really is amazing when we think about the character of Jesus. They think about Jesus, how he left heaven and he came to earth. That Jesus left being in heaven to come to the earth to be a servant. You know, that itself is quite amazing. You know, I'm not sure what heaven is like. I look forward to one day being there. But it's amazing to think about that Jesus came down and walked on this earth so that he can serve mankind. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, that was the very heart and mindset of Jesus. You know, Paul said, hey, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, any comfort from his love, it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love and the same purpose. It talks about in humility, considering others better than ourselves. Sometimes that could be very difficult. But it says that our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. That we need to imitate Christ's attitude. And what was Christ's attitude? That who, being in very nature God, that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But what did it say? He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Again, point number one, we need to think like a servant. That Jesus took the nature of a servant. He emptied himself and became a servant. You know, when we think about servants, servants think more about others than themselves. Servants think more about others than themselves. And we live in a world where we're encouraged to think about ourselves. Think about how we feel. Think about our wants and our desires. But we see here that servants think more about others than themselves. We can serve for selfish reasons. I know times I've served for reasons for whether it be for promotion or whether it be for get recognition for someone to maybe pat me on the back after I serve. But servants, again, think more about others than about themselves or what they will get out of it. Servants also think very differently about what they own. Whether it be their time, whether it be their money, well, servants think very differently about what they own. You know, as Eric has come into our home for 7 weeks, He's been, really trying to get his hands into everything. And again, he's only 16 months. He's trying to get himself into anything. And so if he can jump into a big garbage can, he will. So he'll try to get everything. So what he's been saying all these different times, and so when we say no, he'll say apako. And what that means is, apa in Korean means father. And so when you say apako, it means it belongs to dad. And so I think he learned this obviously when he was in Korea. So whatever we try to teach him, we'll say, don't touch this. He'll say apako. I go, yes, that's right. It's apako. And so he'll go and want to touch something in the wall like a circuit. We go, no. He'll go, apico. No. It's not because of apico. But because he's the one to touch everything. So everything he's going and touching, everything is apico. So now whenever he takes something from Karen, Karen will go, no. Don't touch this. And he'll go, apico. So now in our home, he'll be going around saying apico, apico, like all the time. And so now it's getting to the point where it's okay, enough's enough. Where in his mind, don't touch anything, don't even, because everything belongs to dad. And I need to help change his mindset towards that. But if you really think about it, when we think about ourselves as Christians, sometimes we believe that everything we have is ours, but really when everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have, from the home we live in, from the money we have, everything we have belongs to God. And God has allowed us to be stewards of it so that we can use what we have to serve other people. Servants think about their work, not what others are doing. It's so easy at times to focus so much on what other people are doing when, if we're doing something, to focus on what other people may not be doing. But servants think about their work, not what others are doing. They don't compare, they don't criticize, they don't compete with others, because it's all about serving God. They don't complain, they don't resent those who are not serving, or complain about unfairness. But they trust God and continue to be the servant that God expects them to be. Does it not mean in different situations that some people need to pull their weight more than others? Absolutely. But God wants us to just focus on being the best servant that we can be. And what happens when we focus on other people, it can start affecting what we do as servants. We can start comparing our servanthood to theirs, and we can start measuring how much we will serve based on how much other people are serving. Servants think about God rather than awards or recognition. Because again, we live in a world where we can become self-focused and we can serve simply because of an external reward. We might serve simply because of the appreciation we might receive. Or we can serve because we might get some kind of applause. That's always tested my heart at times when I was in another church and I was serving and serving and serving, and then, when they mentioned about, I want to recognize the servants in the church. Then sitting there waiting for your name to be announced. Then your name doesn't get announced. And then you have to go, okay, you know what? It's all about Jesus. It's all about serving. It's not about me, or it's not about getting recognition. But so many times we love recognition, but that's not why Jesus wants us to serve. Because servants think about God rather than awards or recognition. For a servant, divine approval is sufficient. Divine approval, meaning approval from God, is sufficient. But that's enough. Why do you serve in whatever role that you serve? How do you serve the poor? How do you serve other disciples? How do you serve your neighbors? Are you engaged in serving different kinds of people that you're around on a weekly basis? Servants also think about serving as an opportunity, not an obligation. Servants think of serving as an opportunity, not an obligation. And so therefore, it means that, hey, whenever there's an opportunity, hey, we need to be as servants, hey, where we step up to the plate. Not we say, I feel obligated to do this. And again, there are some situations where we might, but it should be where we look at it as an opportunity. We should never feel that it's an obligation to influence the life of the poor. It's an obligation to influence the people in our community, the people in our classrooms. We should see that it's an opportunity to be like Jesus. It's an opportunity to imitate Jesus and become more and more like Him. You know, if you're in your home, it is an opportunity and many different opportunities to serve rather than obligations. You know, in our home, it's always, you know, since Karen and I have been married, there have been no responsibilities in our home that the other person is not involved in. I think at times when we first began, you know, Karen's done more of the cooking than myself, but over the years, we've kind of tried to, well, it's not 50-50, as much as I'd like to say it's 50-50. I don't do 80%, but of course Karen does the majority of it. But again, in our home, there's no responsibility that's off limits in our place because we believe it's all about serving God, it's about serving one another. You know, point number two, live as real servants. Think as servants, but live as real servants. You know, we serve God by serving others. You know, but God often tests our hearts in asking us to serve in different ways, to test the genuineness of our servant's heart. You know, real servants make themselves available. You know, real servants don't fill their schedule so much where they're not available to serve. You know, we should be available to God anytime. As a servant, we should be available to God anytime. That God can interrupt our plans. That God doesn't have to ask us for permission. That God can interrupt our plans when we are servants of Christ. Because real servants make themselves available. Real servants serve, but convenience does not determine when. Real servants serve, but convenience does not determine when. Because again, in a society where we can be so self-focused, we can be so led by how we feel, where we can serve based on how we're feeling at that particular time. That if we're feeling tired, well, you know what, I'm not going to go and serve. Well, I'm not feeling great today, so you know what, I'm not going to serve today. Where convenience is not about, convenience does not affect our serving. Because sometimes we'll believe, I will serve more if. And you could fill in the blanks maybe for yourself. I will serve more if. Where convenience should never be what determines how much we serve. You know, real servants do every task with equal dedication. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, you know, this is a passage that talks about how what's important is to remember that we're serving God. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Real servants do every task with equal dedication. Whatever you do, if you're serving in your community, if you're serving in your home, that whatever you do it with equal dedication. That tasks that are seen and unseen are done with the same level of effort. So what does that mean? What that means, if you have chores around the house, then you know, you do the chores around the house, you do help out around the house, and it doesn't matter if your spouse or your parents or someone's watching you or not, it's done with the same equal dedication. You know, real servants do not shy away from menial tasks. You know, because Jesus specialized in menial tasks. You think about Jesus washing feet, Jesus cooking meals. That nothing was beneath him because he came to serve. You know, Jesus walked in this room right now, I would have him speak, that's one. But if Jesus was here this morning, Jesus would, he would usher, he would set up communion, he'd probably be putting away the chairs, he'd probably be having different personal one-on-one talks with us, he'd probably be doing everything. But he'd never shied away from what we consider menial tasks. Because there is no task off limits to him. You know, again, as I mentioned, with Eric being in our home, and again, it's one of those things where throughout the years, my wife and I being married, that, you know, hey, we both will cook, we'll clean. Again, it might vary in percentages. So obviously when Eric came, we kind of thought, okay, we'll still do the same thing. And one thing I was hoping to get away with was diapers. I was really hoping that, you know what, maybe I could just do 90% of the cleaning. Because changing diapers is not my gift. That's what we say at times. Well, you know, it's not my gift. But I was hoping to get away with it, but you know what? First day when he came back and needed changing, I was like, okay, Karen. Karen's like, I'll go. I was like, absolutely fine. Great. Fantastic. Then I realized that later that day, I was like, you know what? At some point, I'm going to have to do this. And it's been a while since I had changed diapers. And so I said, you know what, okay, you know what, let me do it. And it's amazing just how, you know, now I can do it under a minute. Before I was like, you know what, I'm ready to throw up. So many other things, okay, now I can do it under a minute. But it's amazing just how even at the last, when Karen was out of town for the first time, away from him, I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity for Howard and Eric to have some daddy and son time. And then it was like 45 minutes. He needed to be changed like 3 or 4 times. This is like Karen had just left the house like maybe like half an hour ago. And now he had to be changed like 3 or 4 times in 45 minutes. As I'm sitting there going, it's going to be a long weekend. It's going to be a very long weekend. But you know what? When all said and done, you know, there was no task off limit to serving him and being a servant. But so many times we can, there's certain things we don't like to do that we might say, you know, no, I don't do that. I like to be able to do this as opposed to doing something else that we might consider off limits to us. But as Christians, there's no task that should ever be off limits to us because we're servants of Christ and we are called to serve. You know, real servants keep a low profile. Self-promotion and servanthood don't mix. Real servants keep a low profile. Self-promotion and servanthood don't mix. That we don't serve, again, for others to notice us. And last but not least, real servants will at times feel underappreciated and unknown. Real servants will feel underappreciated and unknown. And why is that? Because there are times when we will serve that we are not to announce it with the trumpets. As there will be times when no one will know what you have done. And there are times when no one needs to know what you have done. Because if you think about the life of Jesus serving, you say, you know what? No, don't tell anybody about this. And there will be times when we will serve and serve and serve. And you know what? We won't get the recognition that we feel that we deserve. And I know at times it is great to be able to get encouragement for serving in different ways, but at times we'll feel, you know what, people may not appreciate what I do. Or you know what, for what I'm doing behind the scenes, people might not recognize what I'm doing. You know, if you're a servant in the church, I think all of us appreciate the ways that we will all serve. I know my wife and I appreciate those who serve in different ways in the church. But you think about it, sometimes you won't be recognized. Sometimes you'll feel underappreciated. But what matters is God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And God knows the energy and the effort that you're putting into doing what you're doing. And that needs to be sufficient for each and every one of us. You know, as we conclude here, Jesus came not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. That as Jesus lived on this earth, He lived, he was a king, but he did not live as the common king in his day and age. Because the kings were being served, where Jesus came to serve and to give his life. You know, as we step into the shoes of Jesus, you know, we are called to be real servants who do all that we can, wherever we are, in all the different places that we can, at all the times that we can, to all the people we can, as long as we can. You know, this coming week, my challenge to each and every one of us is to be a servant wherever you are. Whether it be in your classroom, whether it be in your home, whether it be in your household, whether it be in your community, to be a servant. To serve those around you. Families, for parents to serve their kids, kids to serve your parents. For students to serve other students. For single adults, professionals to be involved in serving others as well. Because we are called to think like servants and to be real servants. And as well as disciples, to think about who you can serve this week in the church. Because if you think about it, whether we're part of the church, whether we're in the community, that there are needs everywhere. There are needs everywhere that require servants of Jesus to be involved in serving and giving their life as a ransom for many. Amen.